extraordinary, going beyond what is usual, regular, or established. We believe extraordinary prayers can lead to an extraordinary life because we serve an extraordinary God. What if we truly embraced the discipline and delight of extraordinary prayer? What if it led to personal breakthroughs? What if it led to a new chapter for your family? What if it led to a new sense of God's presence when we gather together corporately? What if it led to a revival in the fulfillment of our 2030 vision? What if our extraordinary God is simply waiting to respond to our extraordinary prayers? Don't settle for ordinary, when an extraordinary life awaits those who embrace the power of extraordinary prayer.
Well, hey, Calvary, wherever you're tuning in from, whether it's online or live at one of our sites, I'm so glad you're here. My name is Isaac. I'm one of the pastors on staff, and I have the privilege of continuing our series talking about extraordinary prayer, adding some extra to our ordinary rhythms of prayer as we seek God's best for our life and for our communities. Okay, about 10 years ago, I had the privilege of being a part of a church planting team in a really unconventional way. A guy named Samson flew from India to the United States with the dream of starting a Jesus gathering in a place called Morgantown, West Virginia. So out of all of the places to strategically plant a church, this was not on my bingo card, but the invite was made and our family said yes, and we joined with what the Spirit was doing in the state of West Virginia, with the goal of planting a church led by an Indian pastor. Now, I don't know about you, but not too many missionaries that I know of are coming from another country to the United States. We're often the country that sends missionaries with the hope of starting churches, but this was kind of backwards in all the right ways. And we were at a prayer gathering one evening, and I'll never forget this moment because it's so imprinted on my heart and mind. We were gathered in a very large space. There was a large number of us on a Sunday night. And Pastor Sampson pulls me aside and he says, what are you doing? And I look at him and I said, oh my goodness, this is such a success. There are hundreds of people gathered here to pray. And he said, no, you Americans, you speak too much when you pray. You need to listen more. And I paused in that moment because that was something that I've personally never at that time experienced. To me, prayer was sending my requests to God, was asking God to do things for me, and had very little to do with listening. But the fact of the matter, if you study the Word of God at large, prayer is just as much about hearing the voice of God as it is speaking to God. And so today we're leaning into the other side of prayer, not only speaking, but listening. So how do we listen to God in prayer? If you're anything like me, man, I struggle with this. Man, oftentimes I treat God kind of like a fortune cookie. This is kind of what I mean. When I come to the crossroads of a big decision in my life, like what college should I go to? What career path should I choose? Who should I marry? What house should I buy? Man, those are the times where I lean into hearing the voice of God. And I say things like, God, would you speak to me in this way? Would you give me clarity in this way? And I listen for God's voice and God's direction. But when it comes to the mundane moments of life, the small moments of life, and honestly, even the moments that feel a bit insignificant, I'm not a very active listener when it comes to my prayer life between me and God. And so today we're going to lean in. What's it mean? What's it feel like? How do we do it when it comes to listening to the Spirit of God in and through prayer? Now, I want to pause for a minute because here is a moment of transparency. Even as I wrote our talk for today, I had this internal tension when it comes to just the idea of God speaking to me. And here's why. So I grew up in more of a hyper-charismatic type movement, and I had a lot of moments where it was spoken over me that God is saying this to you, or God is speaking this specific word to you, and I've come to know that wasn't necessarily the voice of God. And so when I think about listening to the voice of God or hearing from God, I often associate the idea of God's voice with my hurt. I associate the idea of God speaking to me with something that's just overwhelming and unbearable, and I don't really want to know what God is saying to me or even thinks about me because I know me. Maybe that's you, if you're honest. Maybe the idea of God speaking to you is just completely overwhelming, and I'd rather not hear his still small voice because I'm afraid of what he may say. But let me put your mind and my mind at ease for a minute. Here's what we know about God. When we speak to him in prayer and when we listen to him in prayer, you are speaking to a God who is a father. He is a father God with a father heart, and he wants nothing but his best for your life. In fact, God is always at work in the direction of his glory and your good. And so when it comes to hearing his still small voice, you are hearing the voice of a father that is for you and that loves you and is leading you in the direction of his glory, of personal holiness and sanctification, a life that looks like Jesus. That's the why. And so let's lean in to the idea of listening to our Father God in prayer. Today we find ourselves kind of rooted in or beginning in the book of John chapter 10. Now this is a gospel written by a guy named John, you guessed it, and this is a personal eyewitness account of the life and the ministry of Jesus as John apprenticed Jesus. And John wrote down the very words of Jesus in this moment. And here's the picture I want you to kind of imagine in your mind's eye right now. Jesus is beginning to teach and instruct, and around him are these Pharisees, religious leaders, guys that set the cultural tone of the day. They had a lot of power, a lot of influence. And if anyone was really in charge, it was these guys. And Jesus is beginning to call them on the carpet. They were religious in every way, but they wanted nothing to do with God himself. And so Jesus wrote these words for us by the power of the Spirit. And in John chapter 10, this is what he's saying as he describes for us what it means to apprentice him. This is what he says. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him because the sheep know his voice. A stranger will come and they will not follow, but they will flee from them, for they do not know the voice of the stranger." This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but because they did not understand what they were saying, Jesus said it again. He said in verse 7, Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep, and all who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved." What's Jesus saying in this moment? This is one of the first descriptors of a follower of Jesus, of a Jesus apprentice. And number one, Jesus calls himself the good shepherd. He is the door by which people are saved. Jesus, as he describes himself, is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. But it begins with something profound. Jesus said this, "My sheep know my voice." What's this imply? That we have a good shepherd that is always speaking and always speaking over the life of his sheep. And the result of the good shepherd speaking to his sheep is that the sheep know his voice and they follow his voice. This is you and me. Our relationship with the good shepherd, with Jesus himself, is marked by God speaking to and speaking over your life and my life. The question for us is, do we hear him? As Jesus is already speaking, do we hear his voice? Do we know his voice? And does it result in a life that, as Jesus describes as an apprentice of Jesus, as someone who follows obediently? Does our listening lead to a life of following? Does our listening lead to a life of following? And so first we need to learn how to listen. So how do we listen? I'm going to give you two kind of primary ways, and then we're going to spend a moment just listening to the voice of our Father God together. Man, number one, the Word of God is the words of God. God has already spoken through His Word. God has already spoken through His Word. It's funny, and I say things like this too. I'll be in conversation with folks all the time, and I hear things, and I even say things like, I wish God would just speak to me about this specific thing. I wish God would just give me some direction or give me a sign or put somebody in my path that would just be a marker of this is the way that you should go or this is the decision that you should make or this is what God says about this. But here's the idea. When we say that God is not speaking, it's often reflective of a life that has a Bible that's closed. See, God has already spoken, and He's spoken through His Word. These are the words of God that leads to the ways of God. This is about God, about His nature, about His character, about His holiness, about His sovereignty, about a God who rules and reigns over all things. When we look to this Word, we are hearing the words of God. This is the path for your life. This is the discernment you need for your next step, your next decision. God has spoken, and He's spoken through His Word. And so if our Bibles are closed, of course it feels like God isn't speaking to me. Like God isn't really involved in my life in this way. Or God isn't giving me the clarity that I need. Here's what I know. When I look to the Word of God, I'll understand the ways of God. And that helps me take my good next step. God has spoken. He's revealed Himself. Everything we need for life and godliness is wrapped up in this book. And so here's the idea. As followers of Jesus, to hear His voice, we have to be immersed in the Word of God. Now, here's some tension behind this. And we live in the culture of, especially in the West, of Christianity, or brand of Christianity, if you will, that is so content saturated. Like there is a podcast by your favorite preacher or speaker for every genre, every flavor, every background, every denomination. There's a YouTube channel for just about anything when it comes to your favorite or preferred voice of Bible teacher. And so here's what we know. We don't need more content, but we do need to be people of the Word of God. Because as Jesus said in John chapter 10, it's the hearing of His voice that leads to a life that follows. And if we don't know His voice as written in His Word, then we won't know what it looks like to follow because we didn't start where God has already spoken. Here's the idea. A right understanding of the Word of God, a right orthodoxy, if you will. I have a deep and robust understanding of God's Word, of who He is as revealed in the Scriptures. A deep and well-formed orthodoxy always leads to a right orthopraxy. Here's what that means. My life will look like Jesus as I listen to Jesus in His Word. But to do that, I need to rightly divide His Word. I need to be immersed in His Word. Is that your life? Is that my life? Man, I don't know about you, but even in a content-saturated Western version of Christianity that we all live in and navigate on a daily basis, when it comes to simply just being in the Word of God for the only purpose of hearing His voice, man, I know that this can be a gap or a void in my life. Maybe this is a gap or a void in your life too. And so if you want to hear God speak, open His Word. If you want to see the face of God, open His Word. If you want to experience His still small voice, man, open His Word. There's some texts that really support this idea. In Matthew chapter 4, it says that Jesus answered This is in front of a crowd, that it is written, man should not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Here's the idea. When you open this text, this is a word that is from God. This is a word that's of God, and this is life itself. Jesus said we don't live on bread alone, but we live by the words that have come from the mouth of God. And so if your life is lacking spiritual vibrancy, we look no further than the word of God, because that's where life is found. We don't live on material things alone. We don't live on bread alone, but we live as we feast on the truths that are eternal as found in the word of God. But it doesn't stop there. This word is not just text on paper. It's not a history book, although it is those things. In the book of Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews says this, the word of God is living, and it's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it pierces even to divide soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and it's a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. And so this is not only text on a page, but this is a living word that divides even soul and spirit. It gets to the heart of my motivations. It gets to the root of my sinfulness, and it forms every part of me. When we look to this word, it's not only to read the text on the page, but it's to experience the living voice of a living God and be transformed into his likeness. God has spoken. He's spoken through his word. And so, man, wouldn't it be foolish of us to go through this Christian life and not be immersing ourselves in the deep wells of the word of God? Because it says that as the sheep heard his voice, in verse 4 it says the sheep follow him because they know his voice. The goal of experiencing God and hearing God and listening to God is to follow God, because he's always leading us in the direction of his glory and your good. Step number 2, we hear God in the word, and we also hear God by the power of God the Holy Spirit. You and I, we are people of the word for sure. And we are also people of the Spirit. What's this mean? The day that Jesus reached into your life when you didn't yet know him, man, you've received salvation. That means you are full of himself. You're full of the Spirit of God. In fact, if you're a follower of Jesus, if you're an apprentice of Jesus, you can't be more full of God than you are right now. It took all of God to save all of you. And day by day, as we follow and apprentice him, we are full to overflowing of God himself, God the Holy Spirit. In fact, Paul in the book of Ephesians, he wrote this in chapter 1, verse 13. He says, "And you were also included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, that the gospel of your salvation, when you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who was a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the day of redemption." Man, you and I are full of the Spirit. We are marked by the Spirit. We are people of the Spirit. And so what does this mean? We have the opportunity and the joy to hear God the Holy Spirit when we have ears to hear. In fact, the writer John in the book of Revelation, when he's writing to the churches, he said, hey, he who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit of God has to say to the churches. That's true for you and for me right now. If you want to lean in, if you have ears to hear, just pause, because the Spirit of God wants to speak to you. And the cool thing is the Spirit of God is always speaking and leading in the direction of the Word of God. I had a moment shortly after, remember Pastor Sampson, when he said, you talk too much and you need to listen more. I had a thought, I need to put this into practice. And so that next morning, I woke up with my Bible open, I read some scripture, and then I was just silent. And minutes and moments went by, and it felt silly, and I'm like, I've never done this before, but I had a still, small voice moment that I know was the Spirit of God. And He spoke something over me that was, number one, encouraging, number two, edifying, and number three, had a step of action that I needed to take as a result. And the best part was it aligned with the Word of God. Now, here's the idea. We need to slow ourselves down and even silence ourselves to hear His still, small voice. But when we do think we heard something or felt something or experienced something that may be the voice of God, it's always wise of us to run that something through the lens of God's Word, because here's the idea. God will never contradict His Word. God has spoken through His Word, and so if it aligns with the Word of God, you can bet that it's the way of God. God has spoken to you. And so here's the idea. What if, in this series, this season of extraordinary prayer, this was just a simple invitation to immerse ourselves in the words of God and to silence ourselves before the voice of God? What if? What if God is inviting you and me and us to add more pause and add more moments of silence to our prayer life, to our daily rhythms, where we slow down just enough, where we're just quiet enough to hear His still small voice and follow in the direction of Jesus? Here's what I invite you and me and us to do in the days to come. And wouldn't it be amazing if we're a people who are of the Word and of the Spirit? What if people looked at our lives and they saw people who were diligent to just be with God? To be silent before God, to listen to His voice, and then to apply what He says. Here's what I want you to do. Over the next 7 days, I want you to build in 1 minute. Just 1 minute. Not 10, not 2, not 5. 1 minute of complete silence where it's only you, the Word of God, and listening to the Spirit of God. I don't want you to make any requests in that 1 minute. I don't want you to say any words in that 1 minute. I just want you to sit and be with God. Because here's the idea. His still small voice is speaking. And God, by the Spirit, has spoken. Have we slowed ourselves down and opened our ears to hear in a way that's ready to receive what He's speaking over you and over us? So this is your 7-day challenge. 7 days, 7 minutes, 1 minute a day, you, the Spirit of God, the Word of God, and I bet that you'll have a moment where you encounter His still, small voice. And if that causes angst in you, remember who you're speaking to. This is your Father in heaven who loves you, and He's for you. And so since this is technically day number one, let's practice together. Let's take 1 minute to just be with Him, to listen for His voice, to look to His Word, and then we're going to pray and worship together. Well, let's pray. Jesus, thank You that you speak to us. Holy Spirit, thank you that you have spoken and are speaking to us. Give us ears to hear. God, over the next 7 days, in those small 1 minute chunks of time, I pray for sweet moments saturated by the Spirit where we have a God encounter. Speak to us, Holy Spirit. Lead us in the way everlasting. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.